Luke 19, I'll begin reading in verse 36. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And together in verse 40. Ready? And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. I want you to look again with me at verse 40. And we'll use all these verses in our message, but look with me in verse 40. He said this, that if these disciples would not be doing what they're doing, then he makes this statement, the stones would immediately cry out. Now, he didn't say they could. That would be true as well. They could cry out. God can do everything. I know you're thinking, well, how could they do it? Let me tell you, God can do anything. You know, if you're looking, he can't sin. Okay, don't go crazy on me. Okay, I'm talking about anything within the realm of doing right, righteousness. Okay, God can do anything, and God could make the stones cry out. But he didn't say he could. It says they would immediately cry out. Not just that they could, but they would. I think that's an interesting phrasing there. So we're going to look at this morning together. This idea of choices. This is another principle of growth in our Christian life, choices. And let's pray and get into it. Father, I do pray that you would help us now as we consider your word. I pray, Lord, that you speak to our hearts. Convict us, Lord. Challenge us. Change us. Help us to grow. We ask in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Back in college, we had one of our staff members in charge of activities. His name was McSpadden. McSpadden was just a really, if you knew him outside, away from doing skits and things, he was a nice guy. He didn't really seem a whole lot funny, but when he was in the front of the crowd, he was one of those guys who could really turn it on and did a lot of skits. He was a guy who, for youth conferences, other conferences at that time, now he's gone, he pastors now somewhere, and of course he's older now as well, and it's kind of a young man's thing to do skits, but he would do all these skits. The guy who was with us for our Sunshine Sunday, Dan Wolf, was his helper. They did a lot of skits together. But he had, this is Mr. McSpadden, Brother McSpadden, he had two characters that he developed and he used differently. One was a supposedly like a teenager. He was called Bubba Jones. He used that a lot for the youth conferences. And he would had different things he would do as a Bubba Jones character. But he had another character he developed that he used we had a pastor's school, which is a conference, and other things. And he would also do these sometimes during chapel, during college. And the other character was a character called Bucky Tucker, who was supposed to be a preacher. So Bubba Jones was a teenager. Bucky Tucker was a preacher. And he was always Bucky Tucker from Bucky, Kentucky. And so he was kind of that, he would have that kind of a flavor as a preacher. And he would say certain statements, and I think it was Bucky Tucker. I may be wrong, and Kelly can let me know later if it might have been a Bubba Jones statement, but I think it was a Bucky Tucker statement. Same guy, different character. So anyways, he made this statement. Now listen to the statement, because on the surface, it was said as kind of a joke, but it's really a very true, deep statement. He would say this, wherever you end up in life, that is where you will be. Now, he said it as a joke, but you think about it, very true statement, isn't it? Wherever you end up in life, that is where you will be. So the question is, well, what determines where I end up in life? And I would tell you this morning that the big part of that determination of where you end up in life, that where you're going to be at, is the choices you make. Choices play a big part in that determination, deciding where you end up in life. It's not fate. People say, well, you know, however chance plays a role in my life, that's how it's going to be. It's not chance. It's not fate. It's not karma. It's not the government. Okay? It's not society. It's choices that we make. our choices play a big role of where we end up in life. The big determiner, maybe not the only determiner, but a big part of where we end up in life are the choices that we make as we go through life. So if we apply this in our idea of growing as a believer, whatever type of believer you become, whatever level of maturity that you reach, whatever growth that comes out in your Christian life, whatever development you have as a believer really is based on your choices. Your choices. The difference in the spiritual growth of different believers is not a difference in talent. It's not a difference in ability. It's not even a difference in opportunities. You know, a lot of, and we kind of, again, we hit this a little bit in Sunday school, and I know for those who are in Sunday school, it is some slightly redundant, but the truth is still the same. We are not simply just going through life like a, you ever play pinball, bing, 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 you know, and the ball's going everywhere. That sometimes that's how we think life is. You know, it just throws me over here, and it throws me over here, and it throws me over here, and it throws me over here, and this is where I ended up. I don't know. I just went through life, and this is how I ended up. Can I tell you, wherever you end up is because mostly, in a big way, is you made a bunch of choices that brought you to that spot. It wasn't accidental. It wasn't fate. It wasn't chance. It wasn't some government conspiracy. It was choices that you made. So the difference in growth of different believers, believer A, who's growing, believer B, who's not growing, what's the difference? It's not that one has talent, one has ability, or even one has more opportunities. The difference is the choices that one made versus the choices the other made. Now, in reality and honestly, we cannot, now watch, we cannot always choose the outcome. Don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying that we can pre-program our life and decide where I want to end up, and that's my choice, and that's what I'm going to do, and that's going to be the outcome. Now, I think it's good to have dreams and goals and desires and plans, and all those have positive things, but we are not those who can control our life and decide for sure the outcome. Okay, we don't have that kind of control in life. So I'm not saying that we decide the outcome. That's not what I'm saying. So we can't always choose the outcome that we want. But that outcome is going to be based on choices we make along the way. There are choices we're going to make, and those choices are going to determine that outcome. I was speaking to the Transformers, which is our children's discipleship type ministry. It's in Sunday evening. Those who come from in the morning, those are what we think who behave the best, that's a part of it, and have an aptitude to learn that, you know, they're not just here goofing around, but they're trying to learn. We try to bring them back on a Sunday night and do a little bit more in-depth type of a teaching time for them. The Vogels do a real good job at that. So last Sunday night I was back there and I spoke to those kids. Dozen kids or so. And I told them the story about when I was walking back from at this time we lived in Bertha Hill. Bertha Hill was a trailer park up here. And the bus stop was down here. But it wasn't like this. The bus, you had to go down Bertha Hill, down to this road, which is, I can't think off the top of my head what that road was. And you had to walk down that road, and then you had to walk down this road to the bus stop. It was a good 30 minutes. And 30 minutes unless you're going back. And then when you're going back, since you're going uphill, it's probably a good 40 minutes. And that's what we did every day until we learned how to climb up the side of the hill, and we could do it in 10 minutes. And straight up the side of the hill, that's another story in itself. But anyway, so I was walking back from the bus and coming up this long way, and this kind of character is coming down, and I'd never seen him. Bertha Hill, it was a trailer park, but we kind of knew most of the people there, but I never saw this character before. And there, you know, there's me, my sister, my brother, another person. Might have been about five or six of us. We're walking, you know, not necessarily. I mean, I'm not like walking beside my sister because it's my sister. So I'm ahead. My brother might be a little bit behind me, and the girls a little bit further back. And so I think I was the first one. And this guy's coming down the hill, so I can see him come kind of way working down towards me, and I'm working up towards him. And he comes up to me, and when he comes up to me, he does something like this. He says, "You want to join?" I go, "What?" He goes, "You want to buy a joint?" And I did this. When he said that, here's what I did. I went. He said, "Was that because you love Jesus?" "No, because I feared my mom." My mom was a very practical person. "You do that and you die." And he said, "Well, my mom lied." My mom would not lie. I really thought my mom would kill me. No way. I value life. I choose life. And I'm now. Not every person, now I'm not putting myself on a pedestal, but I'm saying not every person made that choice. Some people say, "Well, let's try it. Let's see what it's like." And their life ends up in a total different direction. And they say, "How did I end up here?" It might have ended up with that first drink. Maybe it ended up with that first drug use. Maybe it ended up with that rebellion that you allowed to come in your life. Whatever it is, you made some choices, and those choices brought you to a particular outcome. So I'm not saying you decide the outcome. I'm saying you make choices along the way, and those choices have an outcome. And if you want a good outcome, then the best idea would be make some good choices along the way. Now, with that thought in mind, I want to give you three principles from our text. How do we develop these principles that govern our choices? How would we look at our text this morning and say, okay, what can I learn from the scripture so I make some good choices and grow in my Christian life and hopefully have a blessed outcome? Well, let's go back to our text and look with me, if you will, to verse 39. We'll start there this morning. So in chapter 19, and look with me in verse 39, and here's how we'll begin this morning. "And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples." Now, if you know what's going on here, this is Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. This is often what we celebrate as Palm Sunday. They're putting down their clothes. They put down palm leaves. He's entering into Jerusalem. Now, the end result is he's going to be crucified. But at this point in time, the multitude are praising him and glorifying him, but not everyone. There are those who were against it. There are those who are saying, hey, tell them to stop doing that. They shouldn't be doing that. Some were praising him. Some were not. Which brings us to our first understanding. Number one is this, that your response to the Lord, your response about how you make these decisions, your response is your choice. Different responses are possible, but your response is your choice. Now, let me say it two ways. Listen carefully. First way is this. Your response, I'm going to say the same thing, but I'm going to emphasize a different word. Your response is your choice. The choice is your decision. Doesn't matter what anyone else is doing. Doesn't matter what anyone else is doing it or not doing it. You need to choose how you're going to respond to the Lord. Sometimes you say, well, before I make a decision, let's find out what everyone else is doing. And if everyone else is doing it, then I will do it. That's not how you choose. You need to say, what does the Bible say? You know, it doesn't matter what the crowd is doing. The crowd is immaterial. Some people say, don't follow the crowd. That could be bad advice. Follow the crowd. That could be bad advice. Follow Jesus is always the right advice. So if all the crowd is doing right, here's what I would tell you. Do right. If none of the crowd is doing right, here's what I would tell you. Do right. The crowd is immaterial. It doesn't matter what anyone else is doing. You be doing what you're supposed to be doing. Don't worry about others. Don't be fussing with others. You have this opportunity to respond. You say, I'm going to do what's the right thing to do here. I'm going to choose my response, which is the right response. So your response is your choice. Now, let me say it again. Your response is not only your choice, but your response is your choice. How you respond is the choice you made. Because a lot of times people say, well, I'm just not going to make a choice. And you just did. Because that was your choice. Because that was your response. This really applies when it comes to salvation. Because here's what people say. Because We say it this way to help people understand, but it's not completely accurate. We'll say it this way. Are you going to choose Christ or you're not going to choose Christ? We're trying to get people to make a decision. But really, no one not chooses Christ. You either choose Christ or you go to hell. You see, here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I didn't come into this world to condemn the world. I came into this world, and I'm paraphrasing now, I came into this world because the world was, watch this, condemned already. If you are at the age of accountability, that means you're old enough to understand the difference between right and wrong, you are accountable before a holy God for the sins you've committed. And you can sit here and say, well, I don't care what the preacher says. I just don't believe in religion. I'm just going to ignore it. And that is your choice. And that's how you responded. But the Bible says you are condemned already. The default position of humanity is under God's condemnation. If you do nothing about that situation, you will die as a lost person away from Christ. You'll spend eternity in hell. Your response is either going to be, am I going to accept Christ or am I going to just ignore Christ? Well, if you do not accept Christ, that is your choice, but that choice will lead you to a sinner's hell if you do not accept Christ. So your response is your choice. How you respond is making a choice. Now, let me build on this just a little bit. In Matthew, it says this, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Now, think carefully about this verse. Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works. And then I'll profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. If we were to put this maybe in contemporary terms, we'd say something like this. Look at verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not taught Sunday school? Didn't we work a bus route? Didn't we? Weren't we an usher? Hey, we were in a nursery. We were in a children's ministry. Well, we helped clean the church. And then I'll profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Just because you're in a crowd going to church doesn't mean you'll be in the crowd going to heaven. Say it again. Just because you're in the crowd going to church doesn't mean you're going to be in the crowd going to heaven. This is a personal decision that you must make. John 6 says it this way, and this is the Father's will, because it had said in Matthew 7, you have to do the will of the Father. Well, what is the will of the Father? This is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again on the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Very similar when he said, God is not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. Can I tell you what God's will is for you? Is to receive Christ as Savior. That is God's will for you. If you do not know him, God wants you to personally receive him as your Savior. And you have to do that. That has to be your choice. I can't save you. I can't choose for you. You have to make that choice for yourself. And your response is your choice. Now, if you're sitting here this morning saying, well, Pastor White, I know Christ, I've been saved, I've been born again, great, I'm glad you made that choice. Now, let's apply it to our Christian growth. I want you to notice with me another set of scripture, speaking now to believers. 1 Corinthians, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. It's all about your salvation. Now, if any man, watch this, build upon this foundation. Now we're talking about Christian growth. Gold, silver, precious stones. That's one type of building material. Then he changes and says wood, hay, stubble. Do you notice the difference in the building material? There's a big difference between gold and stubble, is there not? If I came with you and I had a big pot of gold and I said it's all yours, you'd be like, thank you! If I went out there in that hay bale out there and got a whole bunch of stubble and put it in a bowl and handed it to you and said, here you go, you'd be like, get out of here, bum, I don't want that. So there's a big difference between the value of gold and silver. And he says, how you build upon this foundation is important. Now watch, every man's work, building, that's the idea, shall be made manifest, shall be known. For the day shall declare, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work or what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath builded thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. So we have a bonfire. We take that pot of gold and we take that pot of stubble. And you have this bonfire going. It doesn't be very big, just maybe like a little campfire. And I take that bowl of gold coins and I dump it on that fire. You think they'd burn? They might mar them a little bit, but it's not going to hurt them. It's gold. But if I took that bowl of stubble and just threw it on there, what would happen? And God says, that's the difference of your choices. There's eternal differences. If you're building on your Christian life the right things, if you're loving the Lord, serving the Lord, faithful to the Lord, doing it out of your heart, that's building on this foundation, gold and silver and precious stone. But if you're doing your own thing and not living for the Lord, not living holy, not serving the Lord, not faithful to the Lord, not committed to the Lord, He's not first in your life. It's all about the world, all about the glitz and the glamour of the world. That's building wood, hay, and stubble. And He says it'll be burned. Now, it says at the end of verse 15, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. In other words, it doesn't remove your salvation, but all of your work is gone because it was all done in the flesh, not done for the glory of God. Let me show you another verse, Romans 14. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all, now it's not about believers, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. This is going back to Corinthians. It's not talking about heaven or hell. This is talking about the rewards based on what we've done. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Now, I have a responsibility as a pastor to preach to you the word of God. And I'll be held accountable to how well I do that, how faithfully I do that, how appropriately and properly I do that. But I don't give an account whether or not you live it or not. That's your account. And you're not going to stand before the Lord and say, well, Jesus, I know I should have, but it was 2019. And, you know, it was a hard year. How are you going to justify anything before the Lord when He holds out His hand and shows you the scars? What are you going to say? It was hard for me. Preach. Jesus, it was hard for me to read my Bible. Yeah, I know some things about hard. You know, it was hard for me to stand before my friends and not go along with it. I laughed at the dirty jokes. I was part of the sin because I didn't want to be ostracized. Yeah, I know. They took me outside of the city and crucified me. I know what it means to be ostracized. And so we're going to stand before the Lord and give account of ourselves. And so we need to understand that our response is choices we're making. So let me give you a statement. I got to move on to the second thought here. But let me give you a statement here. I got a statement for each point, trying to drive home the point, and that is this. Earthly choices should be made in view of eternal consequences. We need to think about our responses and our choices, and we're going to give an account of ourselves someday. Let's go back to our text again. Let's look at chapter 19. Let me give you a second thought about this. Talking about principles of growth, making choices. Choices determine our outcome. Can't choose our outcome necessarily, but we can choose choices that determine that outcome. So he said our response is our choice. Some responded to Christ by praising him. Some responded by criticizing those who were praising and were really they were against Christ himself, not just against those who were doing the praising. But then we see a second principle I think we can learn from this, and that is back to chapter 19. And we kind of talked about it briefly a moment ago, but let's look at verse 40. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, these people who are praising him, the stones would immediately cry out. Now, let me give you this statement and I'll explain why we're saying this. Number two is this, your choice won't change God's word. It's important to understand this. God is sovereign. I completely believe in the free will of man, but I completely believe in the sovereignty of God as well. Your choice won't change God's word. Now, why would we say that, especially about that verse? Well, God had already, now listen carefully to him, and I'll show you the verse in a second, but listen carefully. God had already determined the outcome in this situation. This situation about Jesus riding on this this foal, coming down into the city, having praise, rejoicing, giving towards him, it was already predetermined and prophesied. It was going to happen. God already said it was going to happen. And God says, if you don't do it, the rocks will, because it's going to happen. I've already told you it's going to happen. And there's nothing you can do that's going to change it. Now, you can decide whether you're a part of it, but you can't decide whether it's going to happen. Now, if you go with me, and I'll just put it up here on the wall so we can see it. In Zechariah 9:9, here's what the prophecy. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout, O daughter Jerusalem. He's talking about this event, this coming down into Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. But notice what happens. Rejoice greatly, shout. And this is what Jesus said. There's going to be rejoicing and shouting. Because I already told you it's going to happen. The question is, are you going to be a part of it? You're not going to stop it from happening. You're just going to choose whether you're going to be a part of what's happening. And so we have to understand that our choices won't change God's word. There is a such thing as man's free will. And there is a such thing as God's sovereignty. And they exist together. Sometimes we scratch our head trying to understand how they both work together, but yet they both exist together. God gave us our free will, and God is sovereign, and they do exist together. God will not force you to get saved. If you're sitting here this morning and you're not born again, I don't know who you are. You know who you are. And every time I preach on salvation, you're like, I don't care what he says. I ain't getting saved. I don't care. He can tell me any story he wants. I don't care how sad it is, how glad it is, how good it is, how bad it is. I'm not getting saved. That's your choice. Okay? I can't force it. I can't grab you, drag you down the aisle, put my foot on your back and say, pray and get saved. Okay? I've tried it. Most people don't appreciate that. Okay? They get a little annoyed at that. And they don't get saved. So I can't force you to get saved. And if you're a born-again believer, I can't force you to grow. You're welcome to come to every service. And if you reject everything that's being taught and preached, that's your choice. Now, you're not free, obviously, to disturb the services. You can't come in and, you know, do cartwheels or... And where's Doug at? When I think of disturbing services, I think of Doug Vogel for some reason. But you're not free to disturb the service, but you're free to be... You don't have... to believe what I'm saying, to be a part. Now, I'm not talking about being a member. I'm talking about just coming and being part of the service. You're welcome. We're not going to... I'm happy that you're here, and I'm happy I have opportunity to present to you the Word of God. It's your choice whether or not you take it and apply it and grow. It's your choice. But it doesn't change what God is going to do. This is the point here. It doesn't change what God is going to do. There is... our free will, there is sovereignty, God's sovereignty. God will not force you to get saved. God will not force you to serve him. Now, consequences to wrong choices are true. I mean, you make the wrong choice, there are consequences, but nonetheless, you're not forced. God gives you that free will. But, now watch, God's plan will not be stopped by your choices. God doesn't sit in heaven and say, oh, who's going to win the next election? Oh, who's going to win? God is not worried about it. God has a plan, and that plan is coming to fruition. The ultimate end has already been determined. The Bible says that God, from the very beginning, before there ever was a heaven and earth, before he created anything, God already knew the very end thing that would occur. And that nothing we're going to do is going to change that. The only thing you can change is whether you're a part of that. But it's going to happen. Let me show you what I mean by showing you some scripture. In Psalms 2 is one of my favorite scripture when I talk about this to go to. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Now watch this. The kings of the earth, the leaders, UN, governments, the kings of the earth set themselves. In other words, they said, this is what we're going to do. And we're going to organize things this way. They set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against the anointed, his anointed. His anointed would be particularly Christ. Against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords.
We don't believe the Bible. We don't care about God. We'll do what we want. We don't care. We're free people, and they are humanistic. They're liberal. They deny the Bible. They deny God. They live their own life, and it looks like from the outset, what are you going to do, Lord? They're doing their own thing. And God says, I know it, but I'm not done yet. Look at verse 4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. The Lord's like, ha, ha, ha. Oh boy, you don't even know how things are going to turn out. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Now look at verse 6. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Can I tell you, there's going to come a day during the millennial reign of Christ that Jesus Christ himself is going to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. The Bible says every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. So, well, what do you think the liberals are going to do? I'm going to tell you what they're going to do. They're going to bow their knee and they're going to confess. And there's nothing we're going to do to stop that event from happening. Well, what if there becomes a one world government? Well, there is. It's through the process of tribulations period and all that. But it's not going to stop. The UN cannot stop Jesus from coming. The deep state can't stop Jesus from coming. Communism and socialism can't stop Jesus from coming. Now, it can bring a lot of heartache along the way, but the end result is already decided. Let me show you another verse. In Revelation, speaking of end, seeing the end, in Revelation, notice what the Bible says here. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there is no more sea. Let me just time out on the field. Let me interject a poke in the eye. We are not going to end this world by our means. There's not going to be some climate catastrophe where all life is gone. We're not going to nuke out everyone on this earth. Because the Bible says there's going to come a time when there's a new heaven and a new earth. And the first heaven, the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. You know when that happens? At the end of the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. I'm gonna make a statement here. This earth is going to be around for at least 1,000 more years. Because Jesus hasn't even begun his reign yet. Well, what's going to happen? I don't know all that's going to happen, but I'm telling you this, we're not going to end it. So my security is not in legislation. My security is in the Lord. Back on the field now. Start the clock. So, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now notice what it says. I, John, saw this. This is not a vision as in, you know, like cloudy looking, like I think that's what it is. What God had done is teleported John to the future and said, John, see this happening now. And John saw it happening, and then he comes back, and God teleports him back, and then writes it down and says, I saw this. God has already seen the end of all things. He's already written the future. It's already decided. It's already settled. It's a done deal. Our job is not to try to change it. Our job is to say, if this is what's going to happen, if this is the outcome, I better make some choices along the way so I'm on the right end of the outcome. I want God's blessing. I want God's favor upon me. I want to do what the Lord wants me to do. So our choice is not going to change God's word. God constantly encourages us to make our decisions based on his word, because his word is eternal and unchangeable. He says, don't get caught up in the world. Don't get caught up in... Now, In our day and age, we'd say something like this. Don't get caught up in all the goofiness on the internet, the goofiness on all the social medias, the goofiness in the regular media. Don't worry about all the people at work. Don't worry about all your neighbors and all your family. Look to the Word of God. The Word of God is eternal. The Word of God never changes. That's what we need to understand. Matthew says this, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken to a wise man which built his house, his life, upon a rock. That's building upon the word of God. Matthew 24, heaven and earth shall pass away, and that's going to happen someday when the Lord does it, but my word shall not pass away. Even when there's a new heaven and a new earth, this is still the old Bible. It's never going to be done away with. We put our confidence in it. Psalms 119 has a bunch of verses about it. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And then we just kind of jump through Psalms 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Then he says this in verse 98. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. And in Psalms 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So we have to understand, when we think about choices, our choices are not going to change God's word. God's word has already determined the outcome, the end result of all things. Now, we may not know all the things happening along the way, but the end result is determined. So we know that. And so our choice should be, what does the Bible say, and how should I follow the Bible? Which brings us to our second statement. I said the first one is, earthly choices should be made in view of eternal consequences. The second statement is this: the right choice is the Bible choice. I don't know what you're dealing with in life. I don't know what choices you're dealing with, whether it's a relationship choice or a financial choice or a spiritual choice. I have no idea, but I'll tell you this. Whatever the Bible says is what you ought to do. If you lose every friend, lose every friend. If you have to change jobs, change jobs. If you have to separate from certain people or certain activities, then separate. But do it the Bible way. The right choice is the Bible choice. It's always the right choice. We're not going to change God's word, so we need to choose to live in harmony with God's word, because God's word is going to come true. Your choice won't change God's word. Let me show you the third quickly. We said your response is your choice. We said that your choice won't change God's word, so we need to be now, therefore, be in harmony with God's word. Let's go back to our text, to chapter 19, look at verse 41. We'll back up some. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, encompass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. There's a lot to be said, unpacked in these verses. So I got to really just look at one thing. When Jesus is riding into Jerusalem, he sees Jerusalem and he makes this comment. But also, because he's God, he knows that in about 35 years from that date, the Romans under Titus is going to level the city. And here they are with their Messiah in front of them, and these Pharisees are rejecting him and rebuking his disciples, and they're eventually going to crucify him. And Jesus' heart is broken. He's saying, if you only knew the opportunity you have right now, and if you only knew what's going to happen, you wouldn't be so callous and so careless. You wouldn't be so flippant about this choice you're making. And so I bring you to the third thought about these choices. If we're going to grow, then we need to understand that we got to make choices, and our response is our choice. If we're going to grow, we got to make choices. We need to understand that our choices need to be in harmony with God's word, because God's word doesn't change. But then there's a third thought about that, and this is this: your choice should reflect God's will. They were living their life as if God had no part of anything. They're just doing their own thing. And Jesus is saying, but it's not turning out the way you think it is. You know, the saddest statement I probably have ever made to someone is when I look at them and say this: it's not going to turn out the way you think it is. You think you got it figured out. You got the world by the tail. You think you know how everything's going to turn out, and that's not how it's going to be. I'm not going to say, see, I told you so. That's not my attitude. My attitude is, it is going to be bad, because you're not ever considering what the Lord would have in this. It's not going to turn out well. And that's basically what Jesus is saying. Things aren't going to turn out well for you because you're not considering God's will in this. So let me ask you a question. Simple question. I think you can answer it, most likely. And the question is there a God in heaven? The answer is what? Yes. The Bible tells us. Isaiah 57, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place." So yes, there is a God in heaven. Question number two, I think you can answer it. If not, I think you'd want the answer. Does God, this God in heaven, does God have a will for me? Does he have something personally involving me? I know God loved the world, but me individually, isolated, does he have a will for me? Can I tell you the answer, whether you know it or not, is yes. Jeremiah 29 reminds us of this. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. And then he makes this statement. To give you an expected end. Well, it means this. I have a will. I have a desire. I have an expectation that I want to accomplish in your life. My thoughts is how to accomplish my will in your life. This is the thoughts I have towards you. I have a will. I have a purpose. And so let me ask you the final question. I said, is there a God in heaven? Yes. Does God have a will for me? Yes. So here's the final question. And I don't know what the answer is going to be. But here's the final question. How does God's will affect your choices? How does his will for you, this God in heaven who has a specific personal will for you, how does that affect your choices? Because that's really the question. So I'd ask you quickly this morning, have you surrendered your will to God's will? Regardless of the choices, just instead of saying, okay, Lord, I got to make a choice. Instead of that, what do we just say, Lord, I'm not making a choice here. I'm just surrendering. And then whatever choices that involves, then so be it. Have you ever surrendered your will to God's will? Romans 12 says this, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This is what the Lord wants. He wants us to just to present our bodies, surrender it to him, and let him then work in us to accomplish his will. Have you surrendered your will to God's will? Let me ask you one more question. We're getting kind of to the end. And that is this. Are you willing to follow Jesus' example in this? This idea of your choice reflecting his will, surrendering your will to his will. Well, what was Jesus' example? This is Jesus now. "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." That's the example of Jesus Christ, surrendering our will, that our choices reflect his will. So we said earthly choices should be made in view of eternal consequences. We said the right choice is the Bible choice. And finally, I would tell you this, the other summary statement is this. The best choice that you can make is to seek God's choice and make that your choice. So, finally, put it all together. I'll tell you this. The outcome of your life will be primarily a result of the choices that you make. Some of those choices will be rather easy. Some of those choices will be extremely hard. Some of those choices will mean more than you even think. Sometimes we say, oh, this is a big choice. Sometimes the little choices are actually bigger choices than what we think they are. But we're making choices. We got choices to make. Schooling and work and spouses and surrender and all these, whether I'm going to be in church or not, whether I'm going to read my Bible or not, just choices. Or whether I'm not going to, you know, what kind of job am I going to get? Where am I going to live? Where am I going to go to school? All these choices we're making. Some easy, some hard, some little, some big, and some of the big are actually little, and some of the little are actually big, and we don't know it. But here's what I'd say. But they're your choices, and you have to make them. We just can't sit, well, that's too much for me. I'll just sit at home and not make any choice. But you just did. You have to make these choices. And these choices are going to determine your outcome. So what then do we decide or understand or hopefully get from this? Again, consider that eternal consequence of that choice you're about to make. Don't be flippant. Who cares? You're going to care someday when you walk away from the Lord. You're going to care about that then. Jesus is going to mean a whole lot more to you than what you think. Consider what the Bible says about your choice. You're not the exception. We say, well, you know, I know everyone else did this and it always turned out bad, but I'm smart. I know how to get around what God said. No, you're not that smart. You're not going to get around it. You better consider what the Bible says. You're not smarter than God. You're not going to pull the wool over his eyes. Consider what the Bible says about your choice. And then finally, seek God's will. Pray. Ask him, Lord, what would you have me do? Seek God's will about your choice. And by doing that, we grow and we develop as a believer. And an outcome is the result of that because of these choices. I don't know the outcome, but that outcome is going to come because of these choices. And may it be a blessed outcome that pleases and honors the Lord. Would you bow your head and would you pray with me?